So, this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 12, text number 16. Pasya mang nirjitang shatru rignayudha bhujhang mridhe Gatamanam yata shakti tava prana jihirsaya pashyamang nirjitang shatru vriknayudha bhujang mridhe gatam Gatamanam yata shakti Tava prana jihirsaya Pasha, look mum at me Nirjitam, already defeated Shatru, O enemy Vrigna, cut off. Ayudha, my weapon. Bhujam, and my arm. Mridhe, in this fight. Gatamanam, still trying. Yata shakti, according to my ability. Tava, of you. Prana, the life. Jihirsaya, with the desire to take away. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada ki. O my enemy, just look at me. I have already been defeated, for my weapon and my arm have been cut to pieces. You have already overwhelmed me, but nonetheless, with a desire to kill you, I am trying my best to fight. I am not at all morose, even under such adverse conditions. Therefore, you should give up your moroseness and continue fighting. Real transcendental kshatriya, yeah. Purport. Vidrasara was so great and powerful that in effect, he was acting as the spiritual master of Indra. Although Vritrasura was on the verge of defeat, he was not at all affected. He knew that he was going to be defeated by Indra, and he voluntarily accepted that. But, since he was supposed to be Indra's enemy, he tried his best to kill Indra. Thus, he performed his duty. One should perform his duty under all circumstances, even though one may know what the result will be. Indra has a tendency to get himself into trouble. And here is another instance. He thought he was fighting with a demon, but now he's finding out he's not a demon. He's quite transcendental. And actually he's a devotee. A great devotee. So, he's kind of in an awkward situation. He doesn't know what to do. Should he fight? I mean, he's talking like he's a devotee, but he's at the same time, he's his enemy. So he's on the instruction of his guru here, he's going to continue fighting. Who he thought was an enemy, as Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, he's actually becoming his kshatriya guru. Yeah. Don't be disturbed, you know, it's okay. You know, just be patient, continue fighting. You'll defeat me, it's okay, it'll happen. Just be determined. Yeah. And what's interesting is Dhritarashtra was looking forward to dying because he knew, I'm going back home. Indra is going to get the kingdom. But Vritrasara, he's going back home. So he's actually the winner. He's the real winner. So in another instance, there was Indra. He was he thought that the child in the womb of Hiranyakasipu's wife was a demon. So when Hiranyakasipu went out and was doing his austerities, they usurped his kingdom and they caught the wife who was pregnant. And they were thinking, we're just going to take her, and when the child's born, we'll just kill him. So Narada Muni happened to, he always happens to be at the right place at the right time. So he said, what are you doing? You can't take this lady like that. No, we're not going to harm her. We're just going to wait till the child, the son of Hiranyakasipu, is born, then we're going to kill him. You can't kill him. He's a great devotee. Even if you tried to kill him, you can't kill him. So, knowing the greatness of Narada Muni, immediately they let her go, and they even circumambulated her out of respect for a great devotee who was in the womb of this lady. So, again, he was mistaken. And then Bali Maharaj, the grandson of Pallad Maharaj, he's a demon, born in a demon family. And he conquers the universe, takes the whole kingdom away from Indra. Yeah. So he was in big anxiety. So Bali Maharaj is in this very enviable position, you know, has the whole universe. And then arrangements have been made that the brother of Indra, Vamanadev, shows up. Such a handsome child, beautiful. So Bali says, my dear Brahmana, he was cultured actually. Anything you want, I'll give you anything you want. I just want 3 steps of land. Well, you're not very intelligent. Listen, I can give you a kingdom. I can give you a planet. I mean, I have the universe. I get anything you want. Just ask. I can give you wives and money. No. I'm happy. Just give me 3 paces of land. So he did, and he took the whole universe, took everything. So Indra got back the universe. Again, he's happy. He got the universe back. But Bali, he got Vamanadev. So he got the Lord. It's like here, Vritrasara, he's going to get the Lord. He's going to become a pure, he actually already is, a pure servant of Krishna. And then he's going to go back to Krishna. So Bali also, he got the mercy of Krishna. The pole star. It's not destroyed when this universe is destroyed, isn't it? It continues, eternal. So he's eternally serving Vamanadev to this day. So, very fortunate. So, Indra is very attached to being the king of heaven. But it causes him a lot of anxiety. And that's the nature of getting things of this world, material things, anxiety. Therefore, Krishna, he says, Yehi sam sparsha jaboga dukku yonaya evad ajantavanta konte natesharam adhevudha. An intelligent person does not take part in the source of misery, which are due to contact the material senses. Such pleasures, they have a beginning and an end. So the kingdom of heaven causes so much misery to Indra. But an intelligent person is not interested in all these material things. There's one pastime of Dhruva. Dhruva Maharaj, you know, he was the son of a king, and he was going to inherit, you know, at least part of the kingdom. He had a brother, but he was insulted, and to get back at his father for not accepting him on his lap, he was performing great austerity. For what? To get a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. You know, you think we have material desires. Look at that. Huh? Major material desire. So he was doing this meditation. But again, here he became a devotee and he became detached. So detached, he said, Kachang vichingvam abhidivya ragnam svamyanko tatosi vanam dayachi. He said, I was doing this austerity to get a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. But now, my Lord, I have achieved you. The greatest jewel. And he considered this kingdom that he desired to be no better than broken glass. How valuable is broken glass? Yeah. What do we do with broken glass? You just throw it away. No value. Yeah. So this, he considered this whole universe to be no better than, no more valuable than broken glass. Yeah. But what is valuable is service. Service to Krishna. This is what pleases the heart. But in this world, you tell people, well, why don't you come and join us, join the Hare Krishnas, and you'll become a good servant. Not very attractive. Who wants to be a servant? But actually everybody is serving. Just like it's actually Prabhupada says in a purport that the most congenial way to show affection is by service. Serving that person whom you show affection for. Yeah. Just to give you an example, imagine there's a man, say he's 30 years old, he has a job delivering flowers, and he's been doing it for 10 years. And we all like flowers. Flowers are nice. They smell good. But like any job, gets old. 10 years, you know, every day delivering these flowers. Yeah, it gets old. But then he meets a lady. And he wants to have a relationship with her. So he's thinking, well, how can I start this relationship? Flowers. All the ladies like flowers. I'll make a real nice bouquet of flowers and I'll bring her some flowers. So he brings some flowers to her and she's very pleased. Now it's the same activity. Yeah. He's been doing it for 10 years. You know, he's sick of it. But now it's a whole other mentality. You know, he's trying to establish a relationship. So he's doing it with pleasure. Same activity, but he's doing it with pleasure. Interesting. So when we want to have a relationship with Krishna, we also have to serve Krishna. But Krishna, he only accepts, of course he accepts any service, but especially when it's done with great devotion. This actually conquers Krishna. He says, I am conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. When Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was speaking to Sanatana Goswami, he said, Krishna doesn't easily give pure devotional service for two reasons. One, because one actually has to be attached to Krishna to get pure devotional service. Now we have so many attachments. Yeah. The main thing we're attached to is our body. Even though some of us have heard it a million times that we're not the body, we're still attached to the body and to the so-called pleasures that can come from the body. So we're attached to the body and material pleasures. So we have to somehow become attached to Krishna. And that's why we're doing everything that we're doing daily, is to somehow become attached to Krishna. And if we can achieve that, Krishna is pleased. And he gives himself. The more we give ourselves to Krishna, the more he gives himself to us. And the other reason is that he simply doesn't give it easily. Because he's controlled by his pure devotees. He's not going to be controlled by just anybody. I mean, you have to actually have really pure love for Krishna. And by such a person, he wants to be controlled. He wants to be controlled by such a person. So here, Indra, he's fighting with this apparent demon. And Srila Prabhupada, he once said that our mission is to turn demons into devotees. To turn the asuras into suras. And it's happening all over the world. I'm an example. I was an asura. Of course, I'm not asura yet. Actually, Prabhupada says in a purport that devotees means demigods. Of course, I'm still trying to become a devotee. To turn the asuras into suras, big challenge. But amazing things have happened in this movement. There was one instance in Los Angeles, there was one demon. He was harassing the devotees so much. He would break the windows of the temple and criticize, blaspheme the devotees. It was a big demon. So there was one morning, even in the morning, you know, Brahma Muhurta, he would do these things. You know. He broke a window in the temple. So one devotee in the temple room, he just said, all right, that's enough. Enough tolerance. So he ran out and he caught this guy. And he was a tough guy, this devotee. So he beat him. You know. But this demon was impressed. Because he thought the devotees were just pacifists, you know, just peace lovers, you know. And he was kind of a tough guy. But he got beat up. He had never been beat up before. You're like, wow, these guys are tough. Yeah. Hare Krishnas are tough. Yeah. So he was impressed. He was so impressed that sometime later he got a book. And he thought, well, maybe these guys got something here. Maybe they got some good knowledge. So he read it. And he was much more impressed. He was so impressed that he had heard about the Sunday feast. He went to the Sunday feast festival. And the devotees were very reluctant to let him in. But he said, no, believe it or not, I've had a little change of heart. One of you guys beat me up and I was impressed. And then I got a book and I'm more impressed. So believe it or not, I'm interested. And reluctantly they let him in. And he went to the whole program. And he was more impressed. He was like, wow, this is not bad. It's good. You know? Dancing, chanting, like the mantra. So he's coming regularly to Sunday feast. And then he started coming more often. He started chanting. Japa. And the devotees are like, wow. Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. You know, Patita Pavana, Hetu Tavavatar, Savior of the most fallen. So he asked the devotees, you know, I'm so impressed. I'd like to be a devotee. So he had been coming around for some time, and they said, well, all right. You know, he had become friends with some of the devotees. Maybe somebody can wake that devotee up there. He's in another area. So they said, all right. They could see that he had a real change of heart. So he became a devotee. And he was doing nice service. And he noticed that some of the devotees were especially enthusiastic, fired up. So we asked him, what service do you guys do? And they said, we're book distributors. I said, oh, do you think I can try? I said, yeah, you can talk to the temple president. And he said, yeah, maybe in a couple of weeks you can give it a try. So a couple of weeks went by and he tried it out. And he liked it. Yeah, he liked book distribution. And he became, within a short time, he became the biggest book distributor in the temple. And sometime later, he became the number one book distributor in the world. Ruchi Das became number one in the world. Now, is this the mercy of Lord Chaitanya or what? Huh? Yeah. Anything can happen. Yeah. This brings to mind in here in Europe, there was one criminal who was in the most wanted list, in the top 10 most wanted list in one, I forgot the country. So he was thinking, I better do something drastic, otherwise they're going to catch me. So he had seen the Hare Krishnas around. And he knew there was of a temple. So he thought, I'll just become a Hare Krishna. Undercover. Hare Krishna. So he visited the temple and was showing some interest, you know, feigning interest, you know, just showing some interest. But his whole intention was just to go in as a cover. So he was visiting and visiting and visiting, and he was you got some japa, mala, and chanting, and he was visiting more and more, and then he asked if he could join. And he was putting up a good show. He said, yeah, come on, join. So he joined, he's going through the whole program, doing seva, and he was thinking, boy, this is a really good cover. I mean, the cops will never figure this one out. Yeah. He shaved his head, the whole thing, he got the robes on, and everything. So what's really amazing, you know, he's going to the whole morning program, and he started appreciating the whole lifestyle, and the philosophy, and everything. So he actually became a devotee. He became a nice devotee. You know, there's some people that don't appreciate Hare Krishna so much, but if they actually associated with the devotees and heard the philosophy, like a lot of people, they don't know what our philosophy is. They just see the externals. They see the externals and they know these guys are weird, you know, judging a book by the cover, right? But if people that didn't appreciate us, actually heard our philosophy, associated with us, so many would have a change of heart, as what's happened right here with this major criminal became a devotee. So similar with this Ruchi, he was seeing these some devotees were like really especially enthusiastic and inspired and really lively. So he asked him, what service do you do? You know, we distribute books. And same thing. Do you think I can try? Because he's thinking, you know, dressed in a dhoti and, you know, shaved head, and the cops would never recognize. So he's thinking, maybe I could try some book distribution. So they said, well, you know, talk to the president. And after some time, the president also allowed him to distribute books, and he was having a good time. He was doing good, you know. Criminal, hustler, you know. So he was doing good. Then he got caught. One of the policemen recognized him. Yeah, got caught and took him to jail. The president of the temple heard, and he went to the police station. And then he understood, he heard this whole story that the guy is actually a criminal. He was just using the temple as a cover. But the president could understand because he had been there for like 8 months, 8 or 10 months. He couldn't fake that. He had become a good devotee. So the president understood that. So he asked the policeman, you know, I understood that he went there just as a cover to the temple. But he had a change of heart. He became a devotee. He became a sincere devotee. I mean, he was waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and meditating and going through the whole spiritual program, doing service and distributing books. So he became a saint, believe it or not. Can you let him go, since he had such a change? And the police chief just started laughing. He said, you don't know. You don't know all the crimes that this person committed. He was in the top 10 wanted list in this country. So many crimes that he committed. No, he's going to, not only is he going to go to jail, he's going to go in top security. So he doesn't escape. High security. So the devotee thought, oh, gee, this is terrible. But what to do? But then the chief said, well, listen, I'll tell you what. Because of what you said, we're not going to drug him. Because at this top security prison, they usually drug the criminals. So they can't even think of how to escape. They're just like, you know, just drugged, you know, so they Because even, you know, these top criminals, even though they're in this high security, still they try to figure out ways to escape. So they drug them. I'll tell you, we won't drug him because you've said he's become a saint. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Okay, we won't drug him. But still, he's going to be in top security. So he was in this top security prison. And the way they would feed these guys, you won't believe it. They'd be in this area, and the wardens would be on top, and they'd just throw bread. They'd throw bread, and they would fight. They would all fight over the bread. That's how they would get their food. So this prisoner who had become a devotee, he was a very charismatic person. Nice guy. So he was preaching to all the prisoners. And they were becoming friends. Nice relations. And they were becoming favorable to what he was preaching. He was preaching to them. And they were appreciated. So he said, you know, guys, the way they're feeding us now, not very civilized. Right? They're treating us like animals. And we're reacting like animals. Why don't we do this? Let's catch the bread. And let's offer it to God. Then it'll be spiritualized food. And then I'm going to serve it out to all of you. And we'll eat like gentlemen. How does that sound? And they were like, yeah, I'm getting tired of fighting over the bread anyway. So they would catch the bread. And you know, there's different ways that you could make a deity. So you could do it in the sand also. So he was putting Radha and Krishna on the sand. And he would offer the bread to Radha and Krishna. And then he would have all the prisoners line up. And he would serve out prasadam to all the prisoners. And they were appreciated. Yeah. Bread tasted better now. Yeah. And they were more civilized, you know, talking and enjoying the food. So this was going on for some time, many months, and the whole consciousness of this high security prison changed. And the prison guards, they were like amazed. Because these guys were like, they were animals. One person comes in there and just changed the whole consciousness. They were amazed. So the police chief heard about this. So he went, check it out, investigate. And immediately he could see the whole consciousness, the whole change in consciousness there. Never seen anything like it. He'd been there so many times for years and years. Yeah. So they were amazed. So this police chief, he called this president of the temple. He said, you know, I'm shocked. This prisoner, not only is he a saint, but he's changed the consciousness of everybody in the prison. Yeah. So we've reduced his sentence. He was going to get like 20 years, so we've reduced it. He's going to get 5 years. And we're probably going to lament when he leaves. So the president was happy to hear that at least he's had a reduced sentence. And Prabhupada says that. He says there may be a forest, but within that forest there's a fragrant flower bush. Then that makes the whole forest fragrant. Just like in you probably have them here too. They have these night blooming jasmines, what they call them, night queens. They have them here also. Yeah. Very fragrant. Amazing. Most fragrant. You could, although the flower bush is like 100 meters away, you could still smell it. It's so fragrant. It's like, wow. And I'm thinking, wow, that's probably like it's in the spiritual world. You know, amazing fragrant. So similarly, like Prabhupada, he went to New York City. New York City is like, you know, they call it Zoo York. Yeah. Zoo York. It's like a jungle. You know? It's a concrete jungle. Terrible place. Prabhupada goes there and created so many devotees. And all over the world. Yeah. It's like when Prabhupada, it's amazing what Prabhupada did. It's just unbelievable. There was one priest that's very favorable to us and likes the philosophy so much. He said, I predict that your Prabhupada is going to become more famous than Jesus Christ in the future. He had so much love for Prabhupada and for Jesus, but he could see Prabhupada just like so much more. Prabhupada went to New York City for a year. No result. Just like yesterday I mentioned, if any of you have been on book distribution, just didn't distribute a book for the whole day. Prabhupada was there for a year. No result. Imagine that. Although he was distributing books. He brought, anybody know how many books Prabhupada? 600, that's right. He left India with 600, but when he stepped onto the land of America, he had 597. Because he sold three to the captain. He was already selling books before he got off the ship. So he started the big book distribution. So for a year, no result. Then Howard Wheeler, Hayagriva, saw Prabhupada. And he invited him to the center there. Mukunda had come also. Kirtananda. People started coming, like anything. A lot of people started coming. And imagine how fortunate these people were. Prabhupada was cooking for them. He was cooking for them. And after they would all leave, he would clean up. Yeah. He would serve out. He would cook it all. He would serve it out. Then he would clean it all up. Amazing. And he had just had two heart attacks. Yeah. Not long before that. He's over 70 now, 71. Now he's 71 years old. So Prabhupada was, after everybody had left, you know, at one of these Sunday programs, one person decided to stay for the whole, till everybody had left. And then he saw all these pots that had to be cleaned. Everything had to be cleaned, you know, it was a big mess. So he asked, Swamiji, can I help you? He said, yes. Isn't that something? Just today I was praying, Krishna, can you please send someone to help me? So, Krishna sent someone to help him. So Prabhupada started this 26th Second Avenue. And that's the only temple Prabhupada started. From that one temple, Prabhupada sent people around. Mukunda was leaving New York. He said, Swamiji, I'm going to go to India. And Prabhupada said, nonchalantly. You understand nonchalantly? Nonchalantly, you understand this word? Okay. Just offhand, when you stop in San Francisco, see if you could start a center. And Mukunda said, okay. And that was it. So he got to San Francisco with his wife Janaki, and also there was Yamuna was with him. And then they knew Sam, Samasundar, and Gurudas. So the six of them, they decided, well, let's start a center. So they started a center in San Francisco. And so many people were coming. Prasadam distribution, that was the main thing. Because this is in the 60s. San Francisco was the be-in, flower, power. The hippie movement began right there about that time. It was like thousands and thousands of youth were going to San Francisco from all over the country. So many of them didn't have food. So they were serving prasad. And there were so many people were showing interest, chanting. So they decided to invite Prabhupada to San Francisco. They sent a ticket to him. Prabhupada had never flown in a plane before. So they sent a ticket, so he's flying to San Francisco now. He said the houses look like little matchboxes. Yeah. Imagine, 71 years old, never been on a plane before. So he arrives San Francisco airport. There's 50 people in the airport chanting Hare Krishna. And they're youth, so they're chanting loudly. So when the doors open, when the plane doors open, Prabhupada could hear the loud chanting of Hare Krishna. Now can you imagine how ecstatic Srila Prabhupada must have been? He had not stepped foot in San Francisco and there's loud chanting of Hare Krishna. I mean, can you imagine? This is Shakti. That's Shakti. Huh? And then he was sending people to Portland, to Los Angeles, to Australia. And from there on, wherever he went, there was already devotees there. Wherever he went, from then on, there was already devotees. Except for one place. Russia. So Prabhupada started Russia too. He preached to that one boy for 2 days. And he became a devotee. Malati had snuck the Bhagavad Gita in the baggage of Shyamasundar. And they knew, you know, they didn't bring any books. Shyamasundar and Prabhupada knew, you bring books to Russia, they could put you away. When Shyamasundar, when they went through the security, Shyamasundar saw the Bhagavad Gita and he's thinking, oh my God, they're going to send me to Siberia. Yeah, this is it, I'm finished. Yeah. I'm never going to see America again. So when the security saw the Bhagavad Gita, they picked it up and what was this? So when they picked it up, a bunch of pictures fell out of the book. And so the person that picked it up, oh, I'm sorry. So they're falling all over the floor and he's picking up the pictures and he picks up the pictures and puts them in the book. I'm sorry, here, take the book. Yeah. If those pictures had not been in there and they had not fumbled all over the place, they could have been in trouble. But he felt a little embarrassed that he had dropped all their pictures and take the book. And he was sorry. They let it go. So they left him. Ananta Shanti, right? They left him with the Bhagavad Gita. And he spoke English. He studied English in school. He knew how to read. And so that one Bhagavad Gita, that one person, started the spread of Krishna consciousness. And it spread so much that eventually the Communist Party said only three things can stop communism. Western dress, Western music, and Hare Krishna. Underground, Hare Krishna. They were all over the place. Yeah. And then by then they were getting more, they were getting more books into Russia. So this is the Shakti of Srila Prabhupada. He opens one temple, and from that one temple, 26 Second Avenue, the whole Hare Krishna movement expanded. Amazing. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I heard the same story about the book when the pictures came out. And I heard that pictures were there put purposefully and that they were like beautiful ladies on them.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, that'll distract them, won't it? That'll be a big distraction.
They will stop assuming that it's a religious book or something.
Well, I'm going to have to ask Malati about that. It could be a rumor, you know. You never know. But that would be a good move. That'd be a good strategy, actually, if you think about it. But yeah, I'll have to ask about that. But thank you for bringing that. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for wonderful stories and points. I'm going to repeat my yesterday's question slightly differently. Quite often we see devotees rather despairing, not only because of lack of the external results, but also because of some internal deficiencies. They face a challenge. They face their mind, which they see very difficult to conquer or impossible to conquer, and then they despair and become morose, as in that verse.
Yeah,
he's saying, "I'm not morose." So, but sometimes, as devotees, we become morose. So, what would you suggest for a devotee to undertake if they are overcome by such moroseness due to their personal deficiencies? Faults.
Thank you. You're helping me speak about book distribution. Actually, 3 o'clock we're going to have a book distribution discussion. I think there's a marathon coming up, right? Summer marathon, right? When does that start?
Sunday.
Sunday it starts. For how long? How long is the marathon? One month. Wow. Hari Bol. Starts Sunday. Cool. Very good. So, yeah, well, I was going to speak about that also. So what does Vritrasura say here? He said, don't give up. Continue fighting. Even though you're having a difficulty, still continue fighting. Yeah, because it's your duty. So our duty is also to spread Krishna consciousness, even though it may be difficult. That's our duty. Continue fighting. It's a war against Maya. Lord Chaitanya says, "Ata eva ami agya dulunsa papkari." He says, "I order everyone to accept this Krishna consciousness and distribute it everywhere to everyone." This is the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, we, there's no option there. Well, if you feel like it, you feel okay with it, you know, go ahead. No, he says, I order everyone to accept this and distribute everywhere to everyone. So it's so important. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he said that if you want to please me, distribute books. He said, you can't repay me for what I've given you. I've given you Krishna. But if you want to try, then distribute books. So it's so important. Of course, you have a small country here. Only 2 million people. And this city is also, it's not like a city, it's like a big village. Right? That's the only spot where you can. And I've heard they've already gone around the country a few times, door to door. Yeah?
Seven times.
Seven. Are you serious? Oh my God. Wow. So, but at least you can do the marathons. Yeah? A couple marathons, summer marathon, winter marathon. At least that way you're still in the fire. You're still doing still you can go out a little bit. But yeah, if you hit downtown every day throughout the year, it'll be kind of a little bit too much. But at least you could have these marathons. And it'll be difficult, but austerity is good. Prabhupada said, experience the joy of austerity, the happiness of austerity. Yeah, that's good. He even told the Gurukul teachers, teach the boys the joy of austerity. It's purifying. Austerity is good. The mind doesn't like it because the mind is a rascal. But the soul likes it. It's very good. Very good. For purification. We're all here to get purified, yeah? So it's good. Good. Austerity is this. It's like when you go out on book distribution, your subtle body is taking a shower. Yeah. You're getting cleansed. It's good. Yeah.
Sometimes in Sankirtan there is some follow-up which is a bit unusual. For example, 2 days ago I met a lady who started to become Hare Krishna, young lady. She was attending Ananta Prabhu's lectures and she became really eager, too eager in her own words. And she started to preach and things. And she said she got herself into a kind of a psychotic episode. But she's now all right.
She got a what?
Some kind of psychotic episode. She's psychosis, some kind. Huh?
Psychotic episode.
Yeah. But she's now okay. And she likes devotees and everything. And I didn't quite know what to do. I said, well, I didn't know, should I tell her to chant, because sometimes so-called chanting can deepen tamas. At least in my case, I saw sometimes so-called chanting is only, if mind is not on the mantra, only an excuse for mind wandering in some crazy stuff and only. So what would you do in such, what would you say to her in if you met a person like this? And she was eager and intelligent and everything and humble and just, but I got this thing and now I'm waiting, I'm finishing my stuff and then later on I will seek association of devotees. I wanted to say her chant, but I didn't felt resonate like a good advice at the moment. So because chanting can, it's better to clean the floor many times than so-called chant for Krishna. That was my reasoning. What would you say, for example, that Krishna?
Well, of course, association is the most important thing. But she said, "Well, maybe in the future I'll associate." So she seems a bit on the mental platform. Well, it appears like she's still a little bit psychotic. She's reluctant to associate with the devotees. Without association with the devotees, it's very, very, very difficult. But as far as chanting, what do you say, Prabhu? I mean, do you think? I mean, it seems like chanting is always a good way of bringing oneself back to normal purification.
Individually. For example, maybe some peaceful kirtan is okay for her, but some people are sort of thrown into
excesses in that, like some kind of sentimental excess.
Yeah, yeah. But then we would need to
individual.
Individually see what is the
gradual process. Yeah, we're all individuals. Yeah, different situations for everyone. Anything else? Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. Keith.